All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Granite 2468 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. JD Wool's on. Waterline 46 is on. Just Fact is on. Lady Boo's on. Robin Aroni's on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Chopper Supernut's on. Michelle Tall is on. Charlie 340 is on. D95 97 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Sammy Jr. is on. Mike Griffith's on. Becklin 60's on. Alaska Man is on. Gritterdom is on. Charlie 340's on. Judy Anita's on. Golf Master 1 is on. Slylent is on. Dave Souders is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Bascom Avenue is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Conservative Waffles on. Todd Suff is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mike Clean Sanchez is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me see here. Gucci Buckeye is on. Joe Heathen is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Uncle Wally is on. TJT1 is on. S. Clark is on. Stefan Toms is on. LA 106 Times is on. JBC 2020 is on. Let me see, scrolling down to the bottom here. Deb Powell 50 is on. Those Jesus people is on. Andrew Hernandez 2 is on. John Phillips is on. Let's see if I missed anybody. Female Man is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Scrolling down. Producer Aaron is on. G-A-R-T-Y-R-R-E-L. Don't know how to pronounce it, but hello from Minnesota. Hello back to you is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this. Elon is under attack, as everybody knows. Townhall.com video. Joe Biden, this MAGA crowd. Let's look at who really are the violent people now in comparison to who accuses people of being the violent people. Joe Biden, the MAGA crowd, is really the most extreme political organization that's ever existed in American history. Play for me.
Here it is, double standard, loud and clear.
This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
They are threatening political violence, and they are attacking our democracy.
These Republicans and others are creating an environment of political violence. They are putting Americans at risk.
Democrats have never endorsed political violence, but he will go to a rally and he will endorse it. This is the equivalent of playing with a loaded gun and then it backfiring on you.
Your reaction, Caroline.
I heard the word extremism. What's extreme is the Democrat Party today, which is now applauding this political violence and domestic terrorism taking place across our country. What's extreme is the modern day Democrat Party, who wants President Trump to turn around planes full of gangsters, rapists, murderers, and foreign terrorists to bring them back to American soil. What's extreme is the Democrat Party that wants to keep men in women's sports and bathrooms and locker rooms. And what's extreme is a Democrat Party who wants to continue to spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on useless government agencies that have done nothing to advance America's interests. Again, I will reiterate, President Trump is standing up for common sense and basic and fundamental American values, and all of this empty rhetoric from the left will not stop this president from doing what's right for the American people.
So they call us the most extreme and they call us the most violent. You guys side by side that one for me. They call us the most extreme and the most violent, but where is the extremism and where is the violence? We've never tried to take away anybody's speech. We've never done anything violent. They'll always say J6, but J6 obviously was a Fed insurrection, and there were MAGA people that did stupid things, none of which was violent, really. The violent stuff was done by Feds, really, in the crowd. That's my opinion, but they're the ones who either stirred it up and instigated it, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. So that's, and if they have anything at all, that's what they'll point to. And that's why you never show up at these protests. You're like, Tom, don't you agree with protesting? I agree that you have the right to protest, but would I actually show up at an orchestrated protest outside of maybe the March for Life that's been going on for years? No, because it's just like Enrique Tarrio was facing 22 years in prison because the FBI had infiltrated the Proud Boys. And he ends up getting charged with seditious conspiracy. He never did anything conspiratorial or in any way seditious. So how in the world was he charged? But they did it anyway because they infiltrated the Proud Boys. And he ended up being charged with a crime in a location he was not even at. So, you know, I wouldn't even show up. And this is what they do is they have, it's a color revolution. It's exactly what they did to overthrow the duly elected government in 2014 in Ukraine. Basically what they did was you had Jake Kirby stand there, Chris Murphy from Connecticut, McCain, Lindsey Graham, Victoria Nuland, and all the rest of the usual actors that are there instigating a revolution inside of Ukraine. How did they do it? Well, they knew there was going to be mass protests. Then they warned the government. They said, make sure that you aren't violent with those protesters. Well, then Victoria Nuland and Jake Sullivan, Lindsey Graham, Chris Murphy stirred up violence in the crowd so that the police that they warned not to be violent had to be violent with the violent people. And they used that as an excuse to overthrow a democratically elected government, saying that they were a violent government. They weren't democratic enough. This is the same thing that they're doing now. It really is the same thing. Same thing they did at 1-6. They did kind of a reverse, but that's what they did in 1-6. So the most violent, and then of course now we have to listen to it for the next 10 years. And it's a sad thing that some rag of people did do some stupid things, not violent things, but they did some stupid things there. And so we have to listen to this now for the next decade of our lives. Let's just not show up to obvious Fed-surrections, which it obviously was. You had Alex Jones out there with a bullhorn telling people, don't go to the Capitol. Whatever you do, don't go to the Capitol. People go there anyway. And then MAGA people take pictures of themselves sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk and they walk through broken windows. Everybody should realize, you know what? If it's a broken window, I ought not to walk through it. I mean, really? Because how did it get broken? You ought not to walk through it. A crime occurred. All right, now they have juice on us, so to speak. But it was, what, one day for 2.5 hours. Now, we had months and months and months and billions of dollars and 30 murders during the George Floyd riots, and they never said a thing. And not one of them, there's no media outcry about the swatting going on. And one can, if some big names, and there's a lot of people being swatted that nobody knows because they are semi-big or big names, but they're not reporting it publicly, so nobody knows they're being swatted because they don't want to give any credence to it. They don't want even people to know that they respond, that they use the right address. But you see, whether it's Owen Schroyer, I mean, Alex Jones gets swatted so much that they actually drive by his house at night and he waves at him and they say it's all good. It's just another swatting thing. He's been swatted tens of thousands of times. So you had Owen Schroyer, Gunther Eagleman, Sean Farris, numerous others. Everybody knows the names. Has anybody said a word about that? As a Democrat, it's basically an attempted murder. I mean, you think about it. All these cops have AR-15s pointed at these people because they believe that some atrocity is going on. And what's really interesting about it is during the Owen Schroyer swatting, he's sitting out there. I don't know if it was the Owen Schroyer one or the Joe Pags one. I can't remember which one. So don't hold me to it, but one of those, because I was listening to it on Alex Jones. But anyway, he's sitting out there. And the person who actually called in the fake swatting call was still on the phone claiming to be Owen Schroyer while Owen Schroyer was standing there or Pags, whoever it was. They're sitting there. And I mean, nobody's in on the Democratic side. First of all, what are the cops doing? Well, where's the response from the cops? There's not a very good response because a lot of these things are in liberal jurisdictions like Austin, Texas. But anyway, so where is the public outcry from Democrats about swatting people? We've seen Tim Pool get swatted over and over again. And you've seen it be all different. Obviously, we can name them one right after another. There's no outcry at all. There's no outcry about this either. And I know this is the Trump Tower one with the Cybertruck many, many months ago. But by the way, I was just there, what, a month or two ago? And the burn marks are still there near the sprinklers up there. The Trump, my son stayed in the Trump Hotel. It's absolutely beautiful. If you ever go to Las Vegas, that is the place to stay. It's absolutely beautiful. The people are so nice. And they have the best Trump shop you have ever seen. I'm telling you, it's Trump paraphernalia. It's awesome. But anyway, so there's no outcry at all. But you have people like Rick Wilson from, of course, the Lincoln Project. And he actually puts this out on Twitter, which is now causing me ban off of Twitter. Kill Tesla. Save the country. And then Rick Wilson will call somebody like me. He's banned me. Rick Wilson banned me. I mean, all I did was comment on his Twitter about what an idiot he was. I don't know why he banned me. But anyway, and he and I actually had a back and forth at one point, too. But anyway, so he will say, kill Tesla, save the country, and then call you violent. That's how deranged and repulsive these people are. Let's go to the next one. Willie Brown video. And that's actually the tweet, by the way, that he made. He actually went through the painstaking efforts of making a tweet of the Cybertruck burning. Willie Brown video at Gunther Eagleman. Rick Wilson has done this before. Play for me.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
Do we ever talk like that? Do any of us ever talk like that? Of course, we're the only presidential candidate who has actually had an attempt on his life even once has been a Republican. Not one time, not once for Hillary, not once for Al Gore, not once for Biden, not once for Obama. None of them have had an attempt on their life. Not one. The only congressman that's actually been shot was Steve Scalise by a Bernie Sanders supporter. And I'm wondering why it is that they didn't all call for Bernie to be charged, because they wanted Trump to be charged for the things that went on at 1-6, because Trump said nothing. Trump just challenged the election and then told everybody to peacefully and patriotically protest. But they said that he instigated 1-6 and he needed to be charged. First of all, when is instigation ever a criminal offense? It's not. Please read your statute books. Even if you instigated somebody to commit a crime, it's not in and of itself a crime. I'm not talking about that you planned and caught and you went and you hired a hitman. Because where is the line of instigation? If you say something, that's an instigation. So when is that ever a crime? Because the exact same thing happened with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, the reason why you had the shooter go out and shoot Steve Scalise and try to basically murder every Republican senator and congressman out there practicing for the congressional baseball game. The reason why that happened was because Bernie Sanders said that Republicans were murdering people because of their Medicaid and Medicare positions. So he went out there and shot him up. Why isn't Bernie Sanders responsible? Because we have a ridiculous, biased media that likes to pretend like they're not biased. Here's more on Rick Wilson. Put that up there for you. Here's, I think this is like his last tweet or something. Elon Musk has frozen my Twitter account for 30 days. Good. Goodbye. I am not one for, controlling speech necessarily, but we all got to hear for what? How many years was it for banning speech, censoring speech? I hate all of that. But how much, we're always hearing about, no one's above the law until a Democrat commits a crime, then they are above the law. And then they all talk about, well, private companies have the right to do whatever they want to do. Well, enjoy it, Ricky. Enjoy it, little Ricky. Enjoy it. Because now you're banned and now you can enjoy the very things that you advocate. But by the way, you can't really, it's pretty much established on all social media platforms that you can't actually say kill something. And you're gonna be banned if you say kill Tesla, save America. I mean, that is absolutely calling for violence. So he lost his account for 30 days. All right, let's go to the next one. This is the most disturbing thing. I'm telling you, Brent. I'm telling you, Aaron. I'm telling you, the 739 people that are watching right now. This is the most disturbing thing that I've seen probably since the rollout of the vaccines and the idiocy involved in it. Right here, this sole video. How long is this video, Brent?
39 seconds.
This is 39 seconds. This is the most disturbing thing I've ever seen because it speaks to the heart of the Democratic Party, which is at this point a demonic, repulsive people. Absolutely repulsive people. Sarah Rose video. And wokeness video. While you guys like domestic terror, this is side by side, Aaron, so it gives us some context. This is the Daily Show. The host right here, some no-name idiot, I don't know. But he goes, wow, you guys like domestic terror. That's what he actually said to the crowd. Because the Daily Show's audience applauds the domestic terror incidents against Tesla. Play for me.
Jim, they're taking to the streets or the parking lots.
Tonight, the FBI and ATF now investigating multiple cases of possible arson targeting Teslas and Cybertrucks.
This dramatic video shows multiple cars in flames. Police say the attacker used Molotov cocktails. It's the latest in more than a dozen instances of arson and vandalism targeting Tesla.
The same suspect shot more Teslas with a gun. Tesla Cybertrucks were set on fire in Kansas City, and earlier this month, shots fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon. Cybertrucks on fire in Seattle.
Wow, you guys like petty acts of domestic terrorism, huh? Cool. Jim.
Look how he laughs at the end there. It's okay, Aaron. I'm doing what I told you to do. You're good.
Tonight,
this is unreal to me. Keep the volume up really loud.
Cases of possible arson targeting Tesla.
That right there is the most disturbing thing I've seen in America since the vaccine
flames. Police say the attacker used Molotov.
Listen to this crowd. I mean, I know you already heard it already, but I just have to listen.
More than a dozen instances of arson and vandalism.
When do Republicans ever act like that?
The same suspect shot more Teslas with a gun. Tesla Cybertrucks were set on fire in Kansas City, and earlier this month, shots shots fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon.
Cybertrucks
on fire in Seattle.
Wow, you guys like petty acts of domestic terrorism, huh?
Jim. I mean, okay, let's bring it back to me. I mean, people now, I guess, maybe you guys can chime in and you can help me out. I guess it's because people live now in a virtual world, not understanding that people could easily die. I mean, I don't like electric vehicles. I don't. I may end up buying a Cybertruck just to thumb my nose. And I would like to say something more vulgar, but thumb my nose at the left. But, and plus it charges your car, your house for 3 days. But anyway, I may do that. But here's one of the problems with electric vehicles is that when they light on fire, man, they really light on fire. And it's almost impossible to put them out.
Yeah.
People could have easily died. And you have the first of all, let's go back to front. You have the idiot host laughing about it. What kind of, I mean, I'm just wondering, see, like for me, whenever I'm about to laugh at something, whenever I'm about to take any sort of stand, I think, how would that affect me? Like, you know, part of the reason why I'm a Christian is because honestly, I don't want to burn in hell. A lot of times the only reason why I don't sin is because I wish it was because of virtue, but it's not. It's because I don't want to burn in hell because I think of the consequence. Do these people even think of the consequence if that was their property? If that was their property, or if it was their son or their daughter or their father or whoever, their brother going to fight a fire, fight a fire where it's an electric car that's on fire, which are known to explode and kill the people that are putting out the fire. And you sit there, you're so devoid of attachment to reality that you applaud that. Listen, I can't stand Bill Gates, but I would never advocate for any of his property to be harmed.
Yeah.
Or himself, ever. And I would not clap, and I don't clap when people burn down or assault abortion clinics, even though that never happens anymore. The only places that are actually assaulted and burned to the ground are pro-life places, because of course the left is the party of violence, which by the way, it's nothing has ever changed. See, again, we need to all watch how we've been brainwashed. Because what they say to us all the time that they attribute to right wing has never been right wing, and it never will be right wing. They attach alt-right to Hitler, to Nazism. Nazism is a national socialist. Socialist is one step away from communist. How is that right wing? How is it right wing to do what Hitler did? Ban guns. I mean, ban speech, and do medical experiments on people. Who bans guns? The left. Who bans speech? The left. Who does medical experiments on human beings against their will? The left. Who does mass exterminations? The left. 40 plus million abortions per year. I mean, again, and people say alt-right like Hitler. How was Hitler right-wing at all? He wasn't right-wing at all. So again, the left has always been the violent ones. And they're the violent ones now. You think of their body count. Think about their body count. You think about all the years of COVID, whether, you know, 2020 through 2025, really, as they're still doing it. They still have an agent. They still have COVID money going into California right now as part of their budget. So it's still going on. But you just think about all those years where nobody was dying of COVID, but the left was making sure that each and every one of those 5 years, they made sure that they butchered 40 million kids in the womb per year and then call us the party of violence. You have the trans people claiming to be victims of a trans genocide that doesn't exist. And the only people that are actually trying to commit genocide are trans people themselves on non-trans people. Every mass shooting, just about every one of these attacks on Tesla dealerships have been from trans people. So here's some more viral videos that have come out. And that was the most disturbing video that I've seen in 4 or 5 years right there. People would applaud that. Would applaud bullets being fired into a Tesla dealership. I thought they were all anti-gun. So here's a Sarah Rose video. Nasty swamp bleep liberal shoves his fingers in his unwiped blank to smear feces on a Tesla. Then we'll go right to the next one, guys, which is Tesla dash cam video. Tesla Model Y vandalized. Play them both for me.
Do-ba-do-ba-do-boom-boom-ba-do.
Aaron, I'm going to change what I just told you. Just play them both side by side whenever you can. Just run right after the other and beat them, keep them muted. First of all, I just have to comment. If you were to guess who would wipe their feces on a Tesla, on a Cybertruck, you would absolutely, this would be the embodiment of that image. This guy right here. I mean, he's got moops right there. That would be the absolute, if you were to say, who is it that I would picture? You know, who is the absolute embodiment of who I would picture that wipe their poop on a Tesla truck? It'd be a guy that looks like this. I mean, how is this? Just keep rolling it back and forth. I got a lot to say about this guy. What does this guy have going in life? I mean, let's look at this guy. What does he have going in life? He obviously doesn't work. He has man boobs. He's fat. Okay, I mean, what does he have going in life? What is it that Elon has done to him? How is he victimized in any way, shape, or form? He's still able to walk around without working. He's still able to walk around fat. He's still able to walk around needing a man's ear. Credit Seinfeld. Or bro.
Yeah,
that's Kramer. But anyway, which one was man's ear and which one was bro? But anyway, either one. But so there you go. I mean, that is absolutely the embodiment, the epitome of the left. And then go to the next one for me, Aaron. So, I mean, this one here, Aaron brought up a very valid point. How stupid are you? All the cameras are always on. You're finished. This guy's done. This is felony vandalism. You're done. You are absolutely finished right here, right now. I mean, you're so stupid. And it's the same thing with the other guy. I don't know if it's actually a crime to wipe your poop because you didn't actually do damage to the vehicle. But, I mean, maybe a clever prosecutor could figure out a way. But anyway, because someone would have to clean it, so maybe for the cleaning costs, you could count that as vandalism. But I'm just, this guy's done. I mean, look at, what an idiot. You mean, and now he looks right at the camera. You're done. I mean, again, the left is very virulent. They are very zealous, but they are stupid people. Look at this guy. You have nothing better to do at night than this. This is really what all you have to do in life is to hunt down Teslas and pop tires. That's really all that you have to do in life is that. All right, let's go to the next one. Pathetic left. All right, pick from Gateway Pundit Pam Bondi. Just in, Attorney General Pam Bondi announces severe federal charges. Why is federal such a big deal? Because if you go to the county jail and you get a 90-day sentence, you'll probably serve 12 days. You go to the feds and you get a 10-year sentence, you will serve 9 out of those 10 years minimum. Minimum. The feds don't play around. You take a plea bargain and you get 8 years, you serve 8 years. You don't take a plea bargain, say that they're offering you an 8-year stretch in comparison to a 12, and you fight it, you're getting the full 12. But even if you take the plea bargain and you take the 8, you're getting the full 8. That's how the feds work. And I don't like the feds. I'm just telling you that's how they work. I like the feds right now because they're controlled by Trump. Just in, Attorney General Pam Bondi announces severe federal charges against 3 Tesla arsonists. The days of committing crimes without consequences have ended. Just leave this up. Here's the article from The Gateway Pundit. The Trump administration has delivered brutal news to the scumbags torching Tesla cars and dealerships across the country. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced this afternoon that her office has charged 3 individuals with serious offenses. They have not released the names. Each one of the lowlifes used Molotov cocktails, and that's what was applauded on The Daily Show. I mean, how do you look? I mean, a lot of these people that were at that Daily Show, you're like, Tom, get on. You know me. If you watch this podcast, you already know me. I'm not getting over anything. Not getting over anything. It's like I've been on the same thing. How in the world could you be a Democrat right now? I've been on that for days now. I'm still on it. You're on The Daily Show. You're part of that live audience, studio audience. You probably have kids. And you applaud somebody throwing Molotov cocktails at somebody else's property? Again, it's the hypocrisy is unbelievable because you would never want anybody to enter into your home without permission, but you're all for people entering into the country without permission. So when you actually have to live with your own policies, you will actually hate them. But we, lucky for liberals, we're never going to throw Molotov cocktails because we don't believe in that. We will defend ourselves only. If we lost and Ford was a major sponsor of whoever runs against Trump, let's say, I don't even want to say because it makes me throw up in my mouth. And I know that J.D. Vance is going to win the next 2 presidential elections after this one. But anyway, if Trump doesn't run in 2028, if not, it'll be Trump again, then Vance for 2 more. Then we'll have it actually another 12 years after this 4 years. But say Trump lost to Kamala and her major sponsor, just pretend, go back to old school, old times, Bill Ford, you know, because he was just, you know, the man who built Ford, and his name's Bill. Bill Ford was a major sponsor, now a major part of their part of the Harris administration. Not one of us would ever do anything against Ford. Not one of us would go attack a Ford dealership. Not one of us. We never do. Nobody can send me one video of a right winger committing any act of violence. None. I'm literally not kidding you. Not one. There's no videos. I'm just wondering, if you're a leftist, don't you ever look at a conglomeration of evidence? Don't you ever look at a spectrum of evidence and say, if there's no evidence to support my views, maybe my views are wrong. It's like what I always tell people at the church. If you are basing your quote unquote Christian life on something that's not a Bible verse, then it's not Christian. There's no evidence that it's Christian. It's the same thing here. If you have no evidence that you're right, then you have to be wrong. There's no evidence that right-wingers ever committed act of violence. J6, we'll show up. They'll go look at the videos. Let's make sure that we pick apart each and every person who instigated the violence in those particular scenarios. But anyway, I digress. Back to Pam Bondi here. Each one of the lowlifes used Molotov cocktails to set Tesla dealerships and cars ablaze. The days of committing crimes without consequences have ended, Bondi said in a statement. Let this be a warning. If you join the wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, the Department of Justice will put you behind bars. The first accused domestic terrorist was arrested after throwing eight Molotov cocktails. Eight. And the people on the Daily Show applauded this. At a Salem, Oregon Tesla dealership, let's all wonder, is this a she-male? She, probably somebody who calls herself Adam, whose name used to be Alice, and she's just somebody with a prosthetic penis. She was also armed with an AR-15. The second suspect was arrested in Loveland, Colorado, after using Molotov cocktails to set fire to multiple Teslas. Authorities later discovered the individual had possession of materials used to produce additional incendiary weapons. The final perp wrote vulgar messages targeting President Trump before lighting charging stations on fire in Charleston, South Carolina. The Gateway Pundit previously reported on Tesla attacks at two of the locations mentioned in the DOJ release, Salem, Oregon, and Charleston, South Carolina. It has not been immediately confirmed whether the arrests are connected to these attacks covered by Gateway Pundit or possible separate attacks in these cities. So each suspect faces 5 to 20 years in prison. And there will still, so right now they will get a minimum of 5 years in prison. They will spend the next 5 years in federal prison if they take the plea. Now that's minimum, because what they'll probably do is say, you know what, 5 to 20 years, you take it to trial. And by the way, the Fed's success rate is 98% at trial. So if you go to trial, because of corrupt judges a lot of times, but anyway, I digress. But their success rate is 98%. So what they'll do is offer you, okay, you know what, you can do 12 years. Instead of, if you go to trial and you lose, you're going to do 20. And so they go a plea bargain of 12 years. A lot of these people are going to spend a decade or more in prison for what they've done. And all those idiots, and see, you sit there and you clap while you're on, and you go, yes, and you cheer for this while you're on The Daily Show. I wonder if all those clappers and cheerers are going to support the people that are going to now spend the next 10 years in prison. I wonder if they're going to do that. Of course not, because those people who are clapping and cheering don't live in the realm of reality. All right, let's go to the next one for me. Alpha News video, Kevin O'Leary slams bozo Tim Walz. Play it for me.
You're a criminal. I'm talking about Tim Walz and his comments about the Tesla stock. He says it gives him a boost to see that stock going down.
That poor guy didn't check his portfolio and his own pension plan for state. It's beyond stupid what he did. He's talking down a 3.5% weighting in his own pension plan. I mean, what's the matter with that guy? He doesn't check the well-being of his own constituents in his state? I mean, that's their investment fund.
Point,
what a bozo.
The Minnesota Tesla State Board of Investment, they have 1.6 million shares in Tesla in their retirement fund, 211,000 shares in a non-retirement fund. It's a relatively small amount, but that's one company, one single stock, and that's because Tesla is a huge part of the tech growth. But this is not the first time that companies have been in the crosshairs of protests. I mean, Republicans have protested companies all the time.
So, of course, you had Tim Walz make his idiotic statement that we played on the podcast last night. I have Aaron digging it up for me right now, so we'll just play it again. It's only a couple seconds long to give this context. So Tim Walz comes out and says he has this app. I don't know what this app is. Many of you probably do. Where you can see, I guess, stock ups and downs, buy it, you know, whatever, wherever they stand, stock trades, stock action, whatever it is, stock movements, and there's an app, you can just pop right up. And he says what makes him happy every day is to look up Tesla and see that the stock is tanking. That's what makes him happy. Well, Kevin O'Leary, obviously a venture capitalist, actually knows what he's talking about. Not a fake soldier, fake combat veteran, stolen valor combat veteran like Tim Walz, who's not a combat veteran at all, although claimed numerous times that he was, bold-faced lying. So not the fake football coach, Tim Walz, who says, you know, what was it he said about the a pick six, that we tried a pick six.
Tried to run a pick
six. Yeah, we tried to run a pick six.
Yeah.
That person has absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Speaking of that, play that for me.
Hang on my phone. I don't know. Some of you know this on the iPhone. They've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So. And if you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
So there you go. And then obviously, again, showing people how to actually damage a Tesla. But he goes on the stock app to make himself happy every day. He likes to look at the Tesla stock that's temporarily tanking. Elon knew this was going to happen. He knew it was going to tank. He doesn't need it. He's making billions off of SpaceX. Probably SpaceX is the most, did you know this? SpaceX is the most sought after company on the planet. What do you mean by that, Tom? It means that Elon, how many satellites does the man have flying around the earth right now? Everybody wants a piece of SpaceX because if you actually put it on Elon's rockets, it's going to be successful. You can actually be rescued. And imagine being somebody who's rooting against the person who just rescued the four astronauts. Imagine that. Imagine rooting against that person. That's what you have to be a Democrat in 2025. Root against the person who just orchestrated the rescue of the astronauts stuck at the ISS. So Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, he loves to go on the stock app and watch the Tesla stock go down. Problem is, from Tim Cass News, from Tim Pool, they had, this is speaking of the state of Minnesota, of which Tampon Tim is the governor, they had $766 million in their pension fund get wiped out as Tesla stock declined, and he rooted for it. The pension fund in Minnesota, Minnesota is not a huge state. It's a big state geographically. It's not a big state and populous. $766 million loss in your pension fund is a big deal, and Tim Scott, the governor of that state, is rooting for it. They own 1.6 million shares of Tesla. Oh, there it is right there. They own 1.6 million shares in Tesla. And he's rooting for the decline of the stock that partially funds the retirement fund in his own state.
So stupid.
That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And it's fine when you're Tim Walz. Because no matter what, he's a twice elected governor of that state. He's got a huge pension for the rest of his life. But what about everybody else who has Tesla stock and everybody else who's part of this retirement fund that are Democrats? How many people does Elon Musk employ at Tesla alone? Not counting Twitter, now X, not counting SpaceX. 80,000 people. How many of those are Democrats? Lots. Lots. It's probably half or more, especially because everyone used to think that Tesla was going to save the world. I never bought into that. And I don't like electric cars, but I'm just telling you. But imagine being so devoid of a sense of reality, so devoid of reality itself, that you make a proclamation. I love looking on my stock app every day and watching Tesla stock decline, even though it's costing the people in my state their retirement money, even though it's costing the people in my state, their own stock investment money. Imagine that. Imagine being absolutely so out of touch with reality. And like Kevin O'Leary said, before you make that statement, wouldn't you actually look at what your state is invested in? But there's so much corruption. I don't have time to get into it right now. But the most corrupt COVID state in the United States who abused the COVID money the most is Tampon Tim Walz. I don't have time to get into right now. I wish I did, but I don't. Speaking of that, let's do a little vaccine thing here. Edward Dow tweet, the taboo subject. I like to keep on infusing, or pun intended, injecting the little vaccine stuff in every now and then because everyone's kind of forgetting about it. And I know probably not the 838 that are watching right now, not to mention those that are watching on the Christian Television Network, but a lot of people are forgetting we're in a euphoric state with Trump. And by the way, let's just enjoy it. Nothing wrong with that. Don't, you have me to bring you down. But but the truth is that all of there's a couple little things in here I want to point out. Truth is that billions of people took this injection. Edward Dowd, former BlackRock executive and statistical genius. The taboo subject, persistent excess mortality, has not stopped. Everyone thinks it stopped because it hasn't touched them. It has touched a lot of people. You're like, Tom, what are you talking about? If you have excess mortality of 36 million people, that's globally, since the vaccine rollout, there was no excess mortality at all prior to the vaccines. None. United States, we have very easily, just it's like 1.2, but I'm just going to make it for easy conversation. 1 million people die per year in the United States of quote unquote, just bottom line, 1 million people die in the United States per year. Everybody good, right? That's of homicides, car crashes, disease. What was the excess deaths in the United States in 2020? Zero. There was none. We had 1.1, 1.2 million people die as usual. That's what we always have. Every single year. You can check it right now. 2024. 1 to 1.2 million Americans died. That's just the way that it is. No excess death at all. Then in 2021, the excess deaths started to mount all throughout the globe right after the vaccine rollout. If you go with Society of Actuaries, and Aaron and I have showed these slides over and over and over again on the podcast, of all the different countries, of where their excess deaths were pre-vaccine, and post-vaccines, and there was no excess deaths during 2020, during the most virulent variant time. None. The alpha variant of COVID-19. No excess deaths during the most virulent variant breakout. None. Most people died of the Omicron variant, the least virulent variant. In other words, the least serious variant. Most people died of that one. More people died of Omicron. If you take Australia, more people died of Omicron than Alpha and Delta combined. Alpha, the most virulent. Delta, the second most virulent. More people died of Omicron, which was nothing more than a runny nose and a scratchy throat. More people died of that because they have no immune system. They have a condition called VAIDS. Nobody's talking about it because not everybody who's vaccinated has it. It affects people in different ways, and it affects people on a different timeline. And some people didn't affect at all because the nanolipid particle amount in each vaccine was different because it was a DOD operation and nobody was monitoring the nanolipid counts in each vial. So you had some people got injected four times and they got very lucky because it had a very low nanolipid particle count in it. Because nobody is monitoring and they're supposed to be refrigerated. They weren't, whatever. I don't have time to get into it. I could do it right now. If I start talking about vaccines, show's over. I can't believe it's already 9:47 because I didn't really feel like talking tonight. But it's already 9:47. But anyway, the taboo subject, persistent excess mortality. Nobody's talking about it right now because we're all talking about Trump and we're talking about battling Democrats, as we should. The Swiss insurer blames COVID. So it's starting to come out now. It's not really coming out. But the Swiss insurer is blaming COVID. That's the lie. Every long COVID symptom is a vaccine side effect. COVID itself now is a vaccine side effect. The culprit was the mandated solution, the vaccine. And even with this new administration, the sounds of silence. Yeah, we haven't heard anybody talking about COVID vaccine yet. Now, it's only been, what, Aaron, 60 days? Mm-hmm. Something like that? Not to mention, this is the part that I wanted to put out there. This part and then the bottom, the subtweet from December 6, 2024. Not to mention 9 million children got the magic juice in the last year. 9 million kids have been injected in the last year. We're talking about 2024. People are still stupid enough to vaccinate their child with a gene-altering non-vax that's called a vax. Bottom tweet. Under a pessimistic scenario, we expect excess mortality to remain elevated until 2033, above pre-pandemic expectations. And let's discuss how often Ed Dowd is wrong. Never. He's wrong about as often as Alex Jones is wrong. Seriously, like 5% of the time, 4% of the time, 3% of the time, something like that. That's it. 95, 96, 97, 99% right rate. 99% correct rate. He's right. And that's why. Why is it going to go till 2023? Because it's not going to just instantly kill people. It's causing your body. And again, I can't get too much into it or the show's over, but it's causing people, they're altered cells to produce S-spike proteins, causing a myriad of diseases and the inability of the body to fight off disease. When you have 36 million people die of something, that is a 1 in 200 year event. It's way above that, actually. If you look at the death count in World War II, if you look at how many people died both of COVID and the solutions to COVID, of course, the cure was far worse than the disease itself. It is beyond a 1 in 200 year event, but nobody pays any attention to it because we have 8 billion people on this earth. And when only 36 million extra people die, and those are people with life insurance, so there's actually 5, 6, 7 times that many have actually died. But even if you do that, if you have 200 million people die, excess deaths, is it really even noticeable in a globe that has 8 billion people, when each billion is 1,000 millions, and you have 200 million people die? No, but it's still a massive, I mean, you're talking about the Holocaust with 6 million Jews, the millions, hundreds of millions that died or were casualties in World War II. Look at what the COVID vaccine has done. Amazing. All right, let's go to the next thing. Eric Doherty video. I have to show you this. It's Ron DeSantis talking. And it was a riveting video because I don't think in terms like this a lot. I should. I say it, but I don't think in these terms a lot. But anyway, Eric Doherty video, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just called out Republicans in Congress. Play for me.
So much of the modern Congress is just performative. It's just political theater. It's not substantive. They're not engaged in the business of accomplishment. It's all about putting on a show to be able to get returned to office and stay there for as long as possible. It's one of the reasons why I think we need term limits for members of Congress, which I think would be really good. But it just needs to be, because it's just like, you know, you turn on cable news and you got these guys jabbing. It's like, what have you done, okay? I know you like to jab. I know you like to talk. What have you actually done? You've been in now so President Trump's only been in for 60 days, a little bit more than that. Congress was in almost 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that. So since January 3rd, what have they done? How many weeks have they had off for fundraising and junkets and all this other stuff? And why aren't they really attuned to what needs to be done to deliver support for the president's agenda, but just as importantly, solidifying these changes so that it is actually in law? And don't say it can't be done. Biden, they only had 50 senators when he came in. They had a very narrow majority in the House. Did that stop them from doing all this stuff? They did a lot of bad legislation, but they did it. They got it done. You look in the 90s, Republicans of Congress, I mean, when Clinton was president, they passed very tough immigration laws back then. It's popular. And so I don't even see an effort really to push this forward. And the thing is when you have a new president come in, you have a certain period of time where you have a lot of momentum, right? Just political physics, naturally, the momentum for the first 100 days is going to be greater than the momentum 2 years later. That's just the way politics works. And what I just see is I don't see them really in Congress working to seize the moment. And to understand that this is different, that we actually have a chance to really make serious changes. I see the president doing things that are really, really transformative, but I don't see the same energy from Congress. And so the answer is almost anything the president is currently doing could be undone. Now, these guys build the border wall. That's hard to undo because you have to tear. That's one of the reasons why I support it. It's easy to stop building it. When Biden came in, he stopped all the construction. He left the fence there. He tried to sell the fence, right before he left office, and that was stopped, thankfully. But stuff that's done by executive can be done. And, you know, just the flip side is, like, Biden passed things through the Senate with the so-called reconciliation with 50 votes, Inflation Reduction Act, all these things, trillions of dollars of waste. The Congress now, we have 53 Republicans. We could repeal all of Biden's spending policies in the upcoming reconciliation. And yet they're not even proposing to do all that. So, you know, look, it's just it is what it is. And so, you know, we just got to hope that these guys on the administrative side are able to get as much done as possible. And maybe that creates enough momentum where the no one in the future would want to reel it in. And I do think the Democrats privately admit that Biden's open border was one of the key factors.
One.
It's just so true. I mean, you think about it, since Trump has taken office, where are the congressmen? I mean, have anybody asked this? I mean, they sit there and they go, they jump on the Trump train. Look at all this waste, fraud, and abuse. And I even heard one of them recently say, we didn't even know this was going on. That was Mike Johnson. How would you not know this was going on? You're signing the appropriation bills. Yeah. You're signing the omnibus, the minibus, and the CRs. How do you not know this is going on? And then they do nothing. I mean, honestly, Tom, are you voting Republican? Yeah, listen, when Greg Stube runs again, and I like Greg Stube, I'm voting for him again. That's my congressman. I'm just saying they do nothing. I don't know if Stube does anything or not. I'm just saying they don't do anything. I mean, you use a great example here. Talk about reconciliation in the Senate where you can actually don't have to have a supermajority. You can just pass it with a 50% majority, with 50 votes. To pass all, that's what, how did the Green New Deal, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was the Inflation Production Act, how did that all pass via reconciliation? Why, we have a slim majority, same exact slim majority they had. Why are we not passing anything right now? Anybody ask this? Why did we just pass a CR that is the exact same spending as the Biden administration? Why is that? That's why Chuck Schumer voted for it. Where is all the sort of revolutionary activity in the Congress right now? Why isn't there any? Because a lot of them are simply gelding men that are secretly very jealous of Donald Trump. But when he's actually in charge, they jump on board because they know that it's politically advantageous to do so. But they're really just Democrats in disguise. You're like, well, how dare DeSantis say that? Because DeSantis actually does stuff. I live here. He's the greatest governor there's ever been in the state of Florida. In my opinion, the greatest governor in the history of the United States, if you look at what he's done for the state of Florida. You look at when we have, compare our natural disasters with California, shall we? You know, we actually have all of our emergency services are actually ready. You know, you ever notice how our state never burns to the ground? Aaron, have you noticed that? Brent, yeah. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Brent has lived here as long as Aaron and I have, but you ever notice that, how our state doesn't burn to the ground? Because you know what actually happens when you screw a fire hose into a hydrant here in the state of Florida? You know what actually comes out? Water. You know, when you have a hurricane coming in, Ron DeSantis stages everything pre-hurricane. Mm-hmm. We are never short of anything. You can get all your generators. We're never short. All the shelters are set up. It's done. And then right when the hurricane passes, he's on top of it right now. And he's asking, why in the world is Congress not allowed? Where is all the activity in Congress right now? Where is it to buttress what Trump is doing? Why are they not trying to, you know, remember, the ultimate example. Where they just had a bill that went through the Senate to make permanent the Elon Musk Doge cuts. More than half, it was at least half or more than half of Republicans voted against it, making the Doge cuts permanent, what they call codifying them. One of them I'm trying to think of the various names on there now. I can't remember. I mean, I could think of them if I sat here for a minute, but that'd be awkward silence. I mean, Charles Grassley. Why would Charles Grassley vote against codifying those cuts? Why? There's numerous others I can name. Of course, the Lindsey Grahams and the McConnells, the Murkowskis, the Collins, all of those. I know all those, but there's many others that if I had the list in front of me, that would bother you. Now, all the great senators voted to codify them, but many of the Republicans did not. Both in the state of Florida did. But I'm just saying, and Ron DeSantis nominated Ashley Moody as the who took Marco Rubio's spot. But anyway, You just have to ask yourself, who are these people and why do they never do anything to support us and why do we continue to vote for them? But anyway, let's go on. Could talk about that all night too. All right, Riley Gaines video. Another day, another boy dominating in girls' sports. Here is a boy with either a taped up penis or a swinging penis defeating a bunch of, either one, defeating a bunch of girls in a race. And this is like a sprint by over 7 seconds. I mean, imagine winning a sprint by 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007. And nobody thinks that it's an unfair advantage for a boy to be racing girls. Play for me, Brent. My biggest beef is not even with the transgender moron in the race, this obvious man. My beef is, oh, great job. Mm-hmm. The parents that allow their daughter to compete with a man. And you're like, well, you know, big picture. Well, I want my daughter to be able to compete. By allowing her to compete, you're destroying the future of the sport. So because eventually what's going to happen is you're allowing your daughter to compete and feeling virtuous about yourself, feeling good about yourself because you're open-minded and compassionate and you're not committing a transgender genocide that doesn't exist, but you're destroying the future. Well, I want my daughter to be able to compete for scholarships, so I have to let her compete in these events. Well, what scholarships? Are there going to be scholarships when eventually the only people that, if you're a college track coach, who are you going to recruit now? Because maybe you've got $1 million a year job as a college, maybe major college, maybe LSU or something. You have a very high paying job as the LSU track coach. Who are you going to recruit? The girls who are going to lose to the men, or are you going to end up recruiting the taped up penis men? So you're actually, by allowing your daughter to participate in the sport because you want her to be a part of the sport, are actually destroying the future of the sport that could potentially give rewards to your daughter. So what everybody needs to do is not participate when there is a man racing against your daughter. That is actual virtue. The rest of it is cocaine virtue, just stimulus in the moment virtue. Actual virtue is to say, you know what? My daughter is not going to compete. And you make it public too. Right at the start, everybody just doesn't take off. That's what you actually do. All right, let's go into some Doge stuff here. This was a great thread. This is really kind of wonky tonight, and I'm not super exciting, but to me, I like it all. This is a Luke Rosiak thread on Twitter. Just absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. Doge part of the show. The waste involved in this particular agency, which is the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, which we actually touched upon last night. Get this now. Luke, this Doge section of the show here, because this is one of the seven agencies that Donald Trump just cut outside of the Department of Education. Several federal agencies. One of the seven federal agencies shuttered by Doge on Friday is the most Doge-able agency of all time. FMCS, before the pandemic, had a nine-story K Street Tower, nine stories for 60 people. One story is 60 people. Nine story on K Street for 60 people that never showed up. Only 6% of the employees showed up to work. But they had a nine-story tower that you and I are paying for every single day. Its halls were lined with oil paintings of the employees.
Wow.
Can you imagine this, Brent? If you came into Foundation Church and there's an oil painting of me, oil painting of Travis, oil painting of Aaron.
These guys
can you imagine that?
Employees.
I'm just naming people that are on the staff here. Oil painting of Hope, oil painting of Heather. They had oil paintings lining the walls of themselves.
Wow.
Its halls were lined with oil paintings of those employees and other art purchased from the boss's wife. At your expense.
Yeah.
The and again, I'm gonna make this easy. It's FMCS, which is hard enough to say in and of itself, but that's Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service that you and I pay tens of millions of dollars to run every year. Trump just cut it. Go to the next one for me. These are all Luke, so I don't have to keep saying it. Luke Roziak tweets. It used its office tower as a luxury lounge for employees. This is the government. And as a Democrat, you want to keep this going. Chuck Schumer is advocating to keep this going. AOC, Ilhan Omar, Nancy Pelosi, the DNC, The View, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC are all advocating for this to go, to continue on. Because that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. They advocate for this. It used its office tower as a luxury lounge for employees with an in-house gym, smoking lounge, and an in-office showers. It listed its top employee as being a six-year-long business trip to D.C. It listed its top employee as being on a six-year-long business trip to D.C. So he'd have his rent and all meals paid for just for showing up to work. They said that his top employee was on a business trip, so he got per diem per day to pay for his trip, to pay for his wife. Because what he did was lived outside of D.C. so that he would qualify for a per diem every time he drove into work, so that his lunch, his breakfast, lunch, and dinner were paid for by you and I.
Oh, my gosh.
Feel free to laugh.
6 years.
6 years. Six straight years of every single meal paid for by Brent and by you. FMCS seemed quite clearly to exist for the benefit of those on its payroll and not much else. One employee told me, Luke Roziak, let me give you the honest truth. A lot of FMCS employees don't do a heck of a lot, including myself. This is what we pay for and the Democrats are advocating to keep. Personally, the reason that I've stayed is that I just don't feel like working that hard. Plus, the location on K Street is great. Plus, we all have these oversized offices with windows. Plus, management doesn't seem to care if we stay out at lunch a long time. Can you blame me? Recreation or reception fund? Top FMCS official George Cohen used a recreation and reception fund to order champagne and $200 coasters for his office that you and I paid for and the Democratic parties are advocating for the government to keep spending money on $200 coasters. If you're a Democrat right now, you are in favor of continuing to spend taxpayer dollars on $200 coasters. Go to the next one for me. Brent, I don't know when this ends, so just tell me when it ends. It steered $1,500 a day, $1,500 a day contracts to friends. Is that not felonious corruption? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And jobs to relatives, also nepotism and corruption. Its employees unblocked abuse protections, get this, Aaron, on their purchase cards. And use them to spend $18,000 at a jewelry store, their wife's cell phone, and cable at their vacation home. All of which you paid for. And the
job.
Democrats want you to continue to pay for. Remember, Aaron, find me which side are you on?
Yeah, okay.
Remember now, whose side are you on or which side are you on?
Which.
Whatever. Is it who?
Which.
It is which, okay. Which. Yep. Brent's got it memorized.
Yes.
He loves that song. He loves it. We're all going to be singing it now on the way home.
I know.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for that.
That when you hear the Democrats sing, which side are you on? They're on the side of taxpayer dollars funding this every single day. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. I hope this isn't boring for you all, but it's entertaining for me. When Charles Burton from FMCS, when Charles Burton retired from FMCS, he incorporated an LLC. To which another FMCS employee paid $85,000 using his government card, his purchase card, listing it as call center service, even though the company had neither a website nor a working phone. So someone just got to keep the $85,000. When an accountant, Carol Booth, blew the whistle on financial abuses to the General Services Administration, many of you have heard of the GSA, which manages purchase cards and contracting. Cohen forced her to send an email, which he wrote under her name, rescinding her statement. Like something out of The Office, the employees spent an inordinate amount of time and money congratulating one another for being employed there and engaging in work that really amounted to pampering themselves. Look at all the work that we've done having these oil paintings of ourselves painted. One purchase was $30,000 on trinkets making employees' anniversaries. The agency's office was absurdly oversized, but it refused to move. It hired a consultant for a hallway improvement project. I may not be able to go any further.
That sounds so fake.
I may not be able to go any further. You hired a consultant to improve a hallway. Is that not the government? I told you. Everything in this life, everything in this government is a way for Democrats to enrich themselves. That's all that, not Republicans, except for the extreme rhinos, for Democrats creating government agencies like this one, FMCS, FMCS, or any other one you want to name. They create either a government agency to enrich themselves solely and completely employed, staffed by Democrats, or that agency then creates an NGO that's totally and completely staffed by Democrats, and then they hire other Democrats as consultants for a hallway improvement project to decorate.
What? Is that the oil paintings?
Yeah, it could be. It had an in-house gym for employees and purchased $1,000 TV for the gym, almost $4,000 ice maker, and a $560 stereo. Go to the next one for me. Oh, again, if you're a Democrat, is it what side are you on? Play for me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against George. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon scab within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk. Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
We'll fight against Doge.
We'll fight Elon Musk.
Oh, which side are you on?
I want to know now.
This is the side the Democrats are on. They're singing that. They're actually singing that song to stop the person who wants to stop spending money on this. The Federal Mediation and Conciliation Services exist to offer voluntary mediation between unions and management. What? But many arbiters do this. Its real purpose was simply to pay employees, pay Democrats, who constantly billed for travel to luxury destinations to raise awareness of its own existence.
This should be a TV show.
It really should. This is The Office.
Yeah.
Think about what I just said. There's already plenty of private arbiters that can do this job, but they created the FMCS so that Democrats could have high-paying jobs and then donate to other Democrats and form NGOs so that they could staff more Democrats at the NGO. But many arbiters do this. Its real purpose was simply to pay employees who constantly billed for travel to luxury destinations to raise awareness about their own existence. Many of the agency's top employees lived outside of the typical Washington, D.C. commuting area and only stopped in the area occasionally. In an era before telework was routine, its CFO, Frank Leonard, would come to the office twice a week but leave by 2 o'clock. That's the CFO, Chief Financial Officer. The agency had inexplicably an office in Honolulu. Is that where they traveled to raise awareness about their own existence? It funded constant travel of its employees to exotic locales on the pretext that it was drumming up business for the federal agency, an admission that there was little demand for the agency's existence. In 1 month, Beck traveled to Italy and Switzerland. You're paying for all of this. Remember, which side are you on? If you're a Democrat, you're on the side of keeping taxpayer dollars going to this agency. In 1 month, Beck traveled to Italy and Switzerland, where she conducted a business meeting over video chat. Then she went to Tunisia. So she travels out of the country to conduct a video chat meeting that she could have done in D.C. But she made sure she traveled to Italy and travels to Italy to conduct a video chat, then travels to Switzerland to conduct a video chat, all at taxpayer expense. And if you're a Democrat, you want this to continue. Which side are you on? Then she went to Tunisia and an island off the coast of Georgia. She flew first class and forced the agency to reimburse her for mileage when she drove to her vacation home in Maine. So when she drove her own car to her own vacation in Maine, you and I paid for her gas. The agency has hired 3 full-time media relations staffers, none of whom would speak to me. Obviously, almost certainly one of the only reporters to ever call. Go to the next one for me. Tell me which side are
you on? Just for the background.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, again, if you're a Democrat, you are in favor of continuing to spend taxpayer dollars on this insanity. You know what? Let's go do it. Back it up 10 seconds. Go do it again. Which side are you on? Put it on the screen. Which side are you on? There we go. Which side are you on? Trump's coming for our unions. He wants us all to fail. He wants us to bow to him, but we want him in jail. Oh, which side are you? All right, bring it back to me. There you go. Unreal. Truly. All right, here we go. It's preposterously titled and audacious. It's preposterously entitled and audacious. Employees even leased a BMW with a government card. Oh. When investigators and auditors sounded the alarm about blatantly illegal conduct, FMCS fired them. Even the few work-related expenses were ridiculous. One purchase was $30,000 on trinkets, making employees anniversaries. The agency's office was absurdly oversized, but it refused to move. Okay, we got that part. Go to the next one for me. FMCS existed as a slush fund for employees to live luxury lives. There was no expense they wouldn't bill to the government. One charged the feds for his personal storage unit used to store photo albums of his dog, Buster, even after he retired.
Oh, my gosh.
Scott Beckinsale, a top agency official, was paid $174,000 a year, but that wasn't enough. He had his duty station listed as Iowa so that he could have all his living expenses and food paid for in D.C., where he lived and worked. Did everybody get that? He said officially that he lived in Iowa so that whenever he was in D.C., where he actually lived and worked, he would get a food and travel allowance every single day, 365. Where he lived and worked, as if he was a 6-year-long business trip. So anyway, FMCS hired a former mail carrier who lived in Pennsylvania, Luann Glazer, for a high-level D.C.-based job and agreed to pay her to stay in a hotel for half of every month, even though it would have been easy to find someone better qualified who didn't need to be put up in a hotel simply to do her job. Paul Voigt, a human resources official, was listed as living in D.C. even though he actually lived in Wisconsin in order to fraudulently obtain higher cost of living pay. So they did the reverse there. The guy actually lived in Wisconsin, but so that he would get Washington, D.C. pay, they claimed that he lived in D.C., which all this is felonious fraud. All right, that's good. Even though I got more, that's good. It's 10:18. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. J.L. Burke Jr., $100. Thank you so much for that. Seriously, thank you so much. Texas Billy, my personal friend. He's a good friend of mine. Appreciate you, brother. $50. Robin Aroni, $50. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game. Friday night tomorrow, 9 o'clock, as always. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.